ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه. بعد my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu ordered us to be just and to have justice. Allah said inna allaha ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan, and do more than that, do more than justice. So give more than what is due, do more than what is required. There's no concept of giving less than what is due. So justice is the zero level, that's the bottom line, you can't go below that. And that's the series of reminders that we had today, inshallah, is the last of those. And today I want to deal with the issue of justice to the rest of society. So we talked about justice with respect to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the rights of parents, rights of children, and the rights of spouses. And today I want to talk about the rights of the rest of society. Now, rest of society includes neighbors, includes employees, includes if you are an employee somewhere, includes your superiors, it includes anyone. I mean, the people on the street, when you are walking on the street or driving on the street, it includes the people there. The whole of society, whoever we interact with, what is the concept of justice with regard to them? The reason I'm saying justice is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about this. It's a very critical matter, because it's not left to ourselves to say that, you know, if you do this, it is fine. If you don't do this, there is no punishment. I mean, justice is not mustahab. Justice is fard. If you do not do justice, then you will be questioned. And if Allah does not forgive you, then you are punishable. And the problem with justice, except in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the huquq of Allah, the problem with the justice with others, huquq al-ibad, is that Rasulullah said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive until the person who was wronged forgives first. And believe me, on the day of judgment, nobody is going to forgive anybody. So if you die with somebody's injustice in your account, then you are in very serious trouble. Because on the day of judgment, that person is not going to forgive anything. What is there is there. And that's the reason why the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he asked the question, and this was the beautiful way of teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to draw the attention of people, he would start with a question. So he asked the Sahaba a question, and he said, who, according to you, who are the destitute people? Yeah, there is a difference between being poor and being destitute. And poor is you have, you know, less of something, less of money and so on and so on. Destitute means you have nothing. Nothing at all. You are starving, and you know that's the level of poverty. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who are the destitute among you? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, the people who do not have dirham and dinar, people who don't have money. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. He said, the destitute among you, and listen carefully to this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the destitute among you are those who will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment with good deeds. Yeah, listen carefully. Allah is not saying the ones who have come there with sins. No. The ones who are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds. And how many good deeds? The size of the mountain of Uhud. So it's not, we're not talking about some, you know, did a few good things. No, he's serious good deeds. I mean, this is somebody who really accumulated a lot of good in the world. Good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying this person is destitute. Why? He said, because when they are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud, simultaneously there will be a line of people that these people have wronged. There will be somebody that they beat, and there's somebody whose honor they insulted, and there's somebody whose right they took away, who they oppressed, and all kinds of things. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said there will be a line of people also presented at the same time. And these people will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, we need justice, give us justice. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said the currency on the day of judgment is not dirham and dinar, the currency on the day of judgment is good deeds. So therefore, what will happen? According to each person, however that person was wronged, deeds will be taken from this person's account which is the deeds, the size of the mountain of Uhud, and they will be given to each person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, until a time will come when that entire mountain of good deeds will be finished. But the line of people will still not be finished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah knows when Allah is asking a question, it is only to reiterate and emphasize something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the people, now what do you want me to do? The good deeds are finished. The people will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, give that person our bad deeds. He's got nothing else, nothing left, so give him our bad deeds. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this will be done. And this person who came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds, the size of the mountain of Uhud, will be thrown into Jahannam for the bad deeds of others. Now, what is worse than that? And that's why I remind myself and you, let us not sit happy thinking that I am reading so much Quran, I am, you know, praying so many Taraweeh, and I am praying so much of Tahajjud, and I am making this Etikaf and that Etikaf, and I am going doing Hajj Umrah, and I am building this school and that masjid, and all of that is Alhamdulillah very good. May Allah allow you to do more. But if at the same time, if you are wronging people, if you are oppressing people, if you are insulting people, if you are playing with the honor of people, slandering, backbiting, then may Allah protect you and me from that fate. Let us not be among those who come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the day of judgment with a long list of people whose issues have to be solved. And as I mentioned before, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one Allah will not forgive until the one who was wrong forgives. The only consideration there is that after you make an apology, if the person still does not forgive, then inshallah this is on that person. You are at least bari uzima, you are at least free from your responsibility because you made the effort. But go and make a proper apology. Don't go and say, hello, I am sorry. You don't forgive me, or go to hell, I don't care. No. Proper apology. Go grovel, you know, fall and rub your nose in the dirt. But do it properly so that the person knows you are sincerely. You apologize. And people, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah has given forgiveness in the hearts of people. And if there is an occasion, somebody who doesn't forgive you, it's okay, inshallah. At least you make the effort, right? Be very clear. Now, who are the society? As I told you, first and foremost come the people who are in your charge. First and foremost. Meaning your employees. Meaning your children, meaning your household. These are the number one people who are in your control, in your under your authority. And so therefore their rights are more important than the rights of the larger circle. Yesterday I was doing a lecture on parenting, and somebody asked me this question. They said, if Allah has not blessed somebody with children, what should they do? This question was, if Allah has not blessed somebody with children, what should they do? I said, they should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Because Allah did not call children blessings. Allah said, amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. Allah did not say, this is rahmat of Allah. Allah said, this is a fitna, this is a test on you. So if Allah did not give you children, you say, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me by not giving me children, because this test I don't have to pass. So those of you who have children, and those of you who have wealth, this is not something to be happy about. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, what did Allah call a blessing? Allah said, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bless, who Allah wants to do khair, yashrah sadrahu lil Islam. Allah said, Allah opens his heart towards Islam. So the ability to practice the deen, the taluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Islam, this is a blessing. Not wealth and not children. They are a test. Now, if you pass the test, if you bring up the children properly, tarbiyah, you have saleh awlad, alhamdulillah, you pass the test, then the children are a blessing. Not by themselves. If you take the wealth and you earn the wealth halal and you spend the wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala halal, then only that wealth is a asset for you and it's a blessing. Otherwise, that wealth is a test, and if you do the wrong thing with the wealth or the children, then they put you into more trouble, and at that time you would say, it would be a better thing if I did not have this wealth, because I would not have been able to get myself into all this trouble. I got into trouble because I had the wealth. And you know, and I know this is true, wealth opens doors, all kinds of doors. If a person is not wealthy, many things are not accessible to him, but if you have money, everything is accessible. So it's a big test. So the first people whose rights that we have to think about are the people directly under our control. So as I mentioned, children, household and so on, and very importantly, the servants, very importantly, the employees. May Allah protect us. Today we have people who are so drunk with arrogance in their wealth that they ill-treat servants, they curse servants, they treat them like they are, you know, literally not even human. Please understand, the only reason that man or that woman keeps their mouth shut is because they need your money. There's no other reason. If they did not need your money, then they would have shown you what they can do. But the fact is that because they need your money, they keep quiet. But on the day of judgment, they will not keep quiet. Because their Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu is watching you, treating them in this way. And on the day of judgment, they will not keep quiet. And believe me, you do not want to be in that position where you have a servant who you cursed, whose salary you did not give, and so on and so forth. And on that day, he says, Ya Allah, now give me from this man. You do not want to be in that position. So be very, very clear with regard to the people who work for you. I'm not saying accept substandard work. I'm not saying, you know, let them do whatever they want. No, you have a right to discipline. You have a right to insist that you should get proper return for the salary you are giving. There's no problem with that. If they do something wrong, you can, you know, according to the law, you can fine them or whatever the case. Nothing wrong with that. Issue is how you do that. No matter what the person does, you have no right to curse them. You have no right to hit them. This is not your right. The person did something wrong, you do whatever is according to the law, what you are supposed to do, and let them go home. You have a right to sack them. You have a right to dismiss them from employment. No problem with that. But you do not have a right to physically assault them or to assault them in their honor in any way. It is the right of the employee that he should be paid the agreed upon rate, whatever that was, and that he should be paid promptly when the payment is due. Rasulullah ﷺ said, pay the worker before his sweat dries. And this applies to the salary. It applies also to whatever legal benefits that he is supposed to get according to the law of the land. So if he is entitled to provident fund, if he is entitled to medical insurance or whatever the case might be, it is the right of the employee that he must get it, and it is the duty of the employer that they must pay. It's very shameful to say this, but we have Muslim employers who do not pay the minimum wage. We have Muslim employers who do not they contribute towards provident fund, who do not give the wages and the benefits that the employee is entitled to according to the law of the land. And then they also go to the extent of not paying these things and then bribing the government officials to make sure that they don't get into trouble. Now you are in trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on two counts. One is on not paying the employee and denying him his benefits. And the second one is in terms of bribery and corruption that you are indulging in. So save yourself from the fire, save yourself from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save yourself from the fate that on the day of judgment, that employee will stand there and then he will take from you, from your deeds, instead of taking your dollars and cents today. So make very sure that you are paying them their full wage when it is due, and you are paying whatever benefits are due to them according to the law of whichever country that you live in.
Very, very, very important to understand that. We sometimes get too arrogant in our own, I don't know what it is, being drunk with authority. So very, the next level is the neighbors. And as I have mentioned many times before, Islam does not distinguish between the Muslim neighbor and the non-Muslim neighbor. A neighbor is a neighbor. The rights are the same. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your Iman is not complete. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he has no Iman. They said, Ya Rasulullah, who is the one who has no Iman? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one from whose tongue and hand his neighbor is not safe. He did not say Muslim neighbor. Neighbor is not safe. So if anything that you are doing, either by your speech or by your actions or by what you do in the house, if you are causing inconvenience, if you are causing difficulty, if you are causing harm to your neighbor, then you are Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the person has no iman. Can you imagine, Nabi, what kind of wa'id is that? One of the most common things that we Muslims do is in our parking. May Allah give us some sense. I have seen people who come to the masjid parking their car completely straight across the gate of somebody else. The man cannot come out of the house. He is locked inside until you finish your salah. Now, what kind of sense is that? I mean, literally, you must say this man has, you know, mafi mokha, I mean, he's no brain. He's got vacuum in his head or mud in his head or something. How can you park a car across somebody's driveway? But I've actually seen this happen. And this thing is so common with Muslims across the world that, believe me, any country in the world, the moment you say you want to build a masjid, immediately you have protests from everybody around. We don't want a mosque here. You go and ask them, what's the problem? What is the problem with the mosque? People have told me personally, we've got no problem with Islam. We've got no problem with you people and your religion. He said, our problem is with your parking. The moment you have a mosque, this whole place will turn into a slum, because you will park the car, you have cars anywhere, you do make noise, you do all kinds of things. We don't want your mosque here. Please go somewhere else. What does it look like? What kind of thing is that? Remember, you park your car wrongly and you block people's movement, and you go and pray, Allah only knows whether your salah itself is valid or not. So please, rights of neighbors, be careful with what you do. How you treat people and the people who are neighbors, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, they have a right on us. And then of course the further thing is the country you live in. It is the right of the Muslim to obey the law of the land. And this is Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? Awfu bil uqud. Allah said, keep your covenants. Be truthful to your promises. What is your promise when you have the citizenship of a country? That you will obey the law of that country. If you don't like that law, then go find some other country. But you can't live in a country and say, I will not obey the law of the country. The only exception is if the law of the country prevents you from practicing Islam. If there is a law of the country to say you cannot go to the masjid. If there is a law of the country to say you have to do something or eat in during the day in Ramadan, then you have a right to protest, and then you have a right to disobey that law and say, I will not follow the law. But other than that, now take this and rule and say, how do we drive on the street? Are we following the law when we are driving? How do we do many things? In India, it is hunting is prohibited. There's a blanket ban on shooting and hunting. Law of the land for the benefit of the environment. Muslims take great pride in breaking that law and saying that we are a great shikari. I'm going for shikari. On what basis are you doing it? Seriously. So that means the animal that you are shooting is haram. That meat you are eating is like eating pork, because you are shooting haram meat. And the dalil is very simple. Dalil is, chicken is jais, right? Chicken is halal. But if I steal your chicken and cook it, is it jais? So chori ki murghi haram ho gai, chori ka bakra jais ho ga. Ye kya, where is this dunya? It is haram. It is, if you are shooting an animal in a country where shooting is banned, your action is haram, that meat is haram. So go to a country where it is permitted. It's there. You go to Africa, go in you have got game farms and so on, go shoot, no problem. Breaking the law of the land, I know there are some ulama who have given the fatwa that if you break the law of the land, then you are kharijul Islam. You are from out of Islam. I'm not sitting here making fatwa. What I'm saying, that please understand, it's a very serious matter. You are, as a Muslim, you are supposed to follow the law of the country that you live in, because this is the promise that you made to the country. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, hold your promises, fulfill your uqud, hold your and fulfill your covenants and promises. So following the law of the land is part of Islam. So there's no... Many times people ask me the question, I live in a country which is not a Muslim country, so do I need to pay income tax? What's income tax got to do with anything? I am paying zakat, so can I pay income tax? How are the two related? Zakat is something else. Income tax, you are using the road of the country. So my answer is very simple. I tell them, no need to pay income tax as long as you are not using the electricity, not using water, not using the roads of the country, not because those facilities are being paid for by tax. So if you are not paying the tax, then you have no right to do that. So if you can live in the country without using the roads, without using water, without using electricity and so on, don't pay tax, no problem. So you want to use the facilities and you don't want to pay the tax. Please understand this. Don't make a joke and mockery of the deen. Zakat is something else. Whatever taxation is there is something else. If you don't like the tax, if you think it is too much and so on and so forth, then you take, you do the action required. I mean, you go and file a suit in the court or whatever it is, and try to get the law changed. But as long as the law is there, you are bound to obey that law, because that is the covenant that you made with that land to have the citizenship of that country. And as I said, if you don't like that, go find some other country. No problem. If you find a country where they will keep you there and no tax, no problem. Go, most welcome. Go and live there. But if you are living in a country, to follow the law of the land is a very much part of our deen. It's part of Islam. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live our lives in a way where we fulfill His hukuk and where we fulfill the hukuk of the ibad. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and not to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.